for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Episode 24, Pleb Underground here again, Walton, Phil, with another internet friend. We endure the bear. We know we can handle the tough times ahead until a yearly green candle. The investment case is clear. Green candles right here. Avoid trading. F the drama. Stay humble. Stack sats. You know you'll be calmer. Don't be a sellout. It's not good for your karma. I'm not a Kaiser, not a king, not going to intrude on your privacy like Ring. See, I don't have that predilection like Max to make that same prediction. Difficult times, but 220K still in Plano. I'm here making rhymes like D-Dubs, Dizzy, and Kano. Some say TA is like horoscopes for men. We all know anyone can draw a line with a pen. Welcome back, guys.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to the Pleb Underground. Walton, that was a kick-ass rhyme, my dude. And joining us today, you heard it in the rhyme. That's right. We've got Brandon, or at Green Candle It, and he is the host of State of Bitcoin and Macro Insights Podcast. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us on the show, my dude. This is awesome.
Of course, guys. Of course. I'm pleasure to be here. I'm happy to get on. Walton, you were spitting some serious rhymes there, man. Maybe
I've been working.
Yeah, there we go.
These I don't know. Like these things come to me while I'm walking my dog, just two lines here and there. And they get added together. Sometimes it all gets done on the Friday. Sometimes, yeah, bits come through the week.
There we go. Straight off the dome.
I get to watch the genius at work. He sends me bits and pieces as he puts it together.
Yeah,
like
iterating. Yeah,
I love it.
Because I have to write it down, otherwise I'll forget it. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Without further ado, we are going to dive right into the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course, brought to us by timechainstats.com. And please also check out Time Chain Calendar for a fantastic way to browse the time chain. Phil, what do the numbers look like this week?
At the time of this recording, the block height is 772,850. The Bitcoin price, 21,895. Total public Lightning capacity, 5,229.35 BTC. Moscow time, 45:67. That is dropping quick. We were at 6K just a couple of weeks ago.
6K, and that's quite a percentage change from 6K to 4,500.
That's right. Indeed it is. And the chain rewrite days, 797. Guys, those are the numbers. I know. I think this week we're all kind of a little bit happier, right? Because Bitcoin not dead. Even though, in all fairness, at 15K, Bitcoin wasn't dead either. So, but Brandon, what are your thoughts on this week's pump? We want to give people some hopium before we actually dive into the hopium.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right? Like you said, we're almost at 22K. I was surprised to hear that when you read it all, because I think last time I checked it was like just floating around 21. So, I mean, seems like it's steadily increasing. I don't know what to really think about it. If it's, if we've reached the bottom of the bear, if this is just like a little mini run up during this bear market. But I don't know. I mean, I think it just gives a little bit of, like, you know, the miners and some of the other Bitcoin companies some breathing room for now at the very least. So maybe some hopium that I guess we'll get into in a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very convenient that we have you on the show, and you are Green Candle on Twitter, and this last week has been a green candle. So maybe that's a sign.
Yeah, there we go. It's the green candle pump. That's like, hey, if you guys want to give me credit, I'm all for it.
You'll take it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So look, let's.
We can't have him on every week.
Maybe we do. Like, maybe we can.
Guys, big Bitcoin shows out there. You need to have this guy on your show, because you've each got to take it as part of your responsibility to do your part for the green candle pump.
Exactly.
Have green candle on your show. Keep the pump alive.
Yeah, there we go. Pump it up.
Feel the pump.
All right. So look, speaking of pumps, let's take a look at a bit of a different type of pump. This is provided by Walton. Walton, thank you very much. Okay, let's take a look at this tweet. James Melville: while much of the attention has focused on energy prices, UK food prices have gone through the roof since 2021. This is the type of pump that we're not looking for. Wow, vegetable oil. Hey, look at that, huh? The seed oil, 65.2%. They're costing more and they're killing us faster. That's fantastic.
Absolutely ridiculous.
In fairness, seed oil and vegetable oil is not necessarily the same thing. Like, you can, yeah, I mean, like, olive oil isn't the seed oil, but like, yeah.
Well, olive oil isn't the seed oil, that's true. But like canola oil, safflower oil.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, but I mean, pasta too. Pasta is supposed to be one of those cheap things that you could just go buy at the store. It's like, you know, $1 or $2 or something. You make a quick meal. Maybe it's not the most healthy thing for you, but, you know, it fills you up. And seeing that up 60%, I know, I mean, all these numbers.
Right, even these cheap carbs, it's not just the meat and things that are going up. The cheap carbs that were meant to be, like, helping to gaslight the population about inflation, those are going up as well now.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, Twitter kind of had the popularity around the eggs. I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw that floating around, but I was seeing it in New York City. It was like $10 for a carton of eggs. And I mean, you know, that's alarming, of course, but seeing all these other prices, it's just like you said, Walton, it's all the carbs and just like bullshit foods that you really shouldn't, like, probably eat on a daily basis, but just meant to be like little cheap fillers. They're not so cheap anymore. So it's definitely kind of alarming, to say the least.
I'm surprised that beef isn't on that list. How is that the highest stuff?
Probably because it gets censored. It probably gets sent.
It's too high.
Like, it's not, you know, well, it's not getting bought anymore, right? Like, it's too expensive now. People don't buy it. So we don't, it's like beef's out of the CPI because no one buys it. Like, we just put televisions in there because those go down, right? Or something like that. I don't know. Like, it's nonsense. There is no bigger lie than CPI. Don't forget this, guys. There is no bigger lie than CPI. It's a tool used to gaslight you by central bankers and politicians. They're just trying to lie to you about inflation. It's way bigger. Like, fuck all of them. It's disgusting.
100%. And I don't think people understand that it compounds over year over year. So that 2%, you know, 30
like,
years.
Look at those food prices. You tell me inflation's 10%. Fuck off. People are paying 50% more for like their monthly necessities. Like, there's no fucking chance inflation is 10%. Like, normal people are probably, you know, have gone from maybe saving to no longer saving anything, and in some cases, you know, racking up personal credit. Like, this, just wait. Like, this is a mess.
Oh, 100%. And I think, too, that something that gets a lot, like, really lost in a lot of this is, like, you know, like you said about people racking up debt, is that, you know, a lot of Americans had student loan debt already, and that's been on pause since, you know, this COVID pandemic has happened. So people haven't had to make those payments in over 2 years. So, I mean, we're getting to the point now where it's like, all right, we're either going to keep pushing it, and that's going to be another kind of, like, hidden wave of inflation, or it's just people are just going to get kicked in the mouth and they're already living above their means, and they're going to have to start making these, you know, whether it's like $200 or $400 a month payments now to pay down student loans. So, I mean, I think not only like inflation just causing like all these costs, you know, we're seeing gas prices go higher, car prices go higher, which mean and insurance prices go higher. I mean, everything around us. And I think the one interesting thing I saw about that list that you guys were showing was that, you know, I didn't really see any, like you were saying, main staple foods. It was mostly just like, you know, carbs on the side. It wasn't any meat.
But that is main staple foods for many people, like, because they don't eat. They think of carbs as being the center of a meal rather than meat. Like,
yeah.
Again, gaslighting.
Like, there's people that eat Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
Gas goes up. The price of gaslighting goes up because the politicians and central bankers make more money too.
Oh, 100%. You know, I mean, and yeah, there was not any protein that was on that list at all. I mean, I think the healthiest thing that was on there was maybe tomatoes is what.
Milk. I think there was milk on there maybe.
Yeah. And like, even then it was like, it's up more than 20%, which is outrageous.
It's only going to get worse. And the reality is that there is such poor information, such poor guidelines around how to eat properly, because all the narratives are all paid for and all the incentives have nothing to do with actually being healthy. And anyone spouting anything about balance or health just sounds insane. So It's anyways, look, you know what? Yeah. They're going to continue to ignore the, like, I do find it strange that beef isn't there. Like I said before, they're going to continue to ignore the real staples, but to Walton, you know, like to Walton's point, you know, like people don't know how to eat. So yeah. this is how you can fool people.
Get censored anyway. They might go, oh no, beef is bad for the environment. We can't have beef in the table.
Like, well, didn't they say that?
Yeah, like, friendly beef.
Yeah, didn't they say that? Like
one day you'll only be able to buy beef with Bitcoin. You heard it here first. One day.
You can now, right? With Texas Slim, the beef initiative, he's doing.
Yeah,
they
pretty already said that.
But I mean, didn't like Senator Warren, I think, like a couple years ago, say that eating meat was bad for the environment because like cows fart a lot and that methane goes mm-hmm. and kills the atmosphere or some crazy shit like
well,
that.
Well, no, like methane is meant to be is a very potent greenhouse gas. Like the bonds in chemical molecules absorb and re-emit certain frequencies of electromagnetic waves depending on the length of the bond. So certain bonds of certain lengths will absorb particular frequencies of infrared radiation and then re-emit it back to Earth. Like that's reasonable. But the thing is that most of the greenhouse effect, this effect of the re-emission of infrared radiation back to Earth from these gases, most of it is from water vapor. And hey, you can't really control how much of the seas evaporate, guys.
That's true.
Don't give them a challenge,
yes,
Walton.
Carbon dioxide, yes, methane. These are more potent greenhouse gases. But at the end of the day, you can't control how much water is evaporating. The effect of these little things is so negligible compared to how much water vapor there is, and how much that drives it.
Klaus Schwab is like, hold my beer. That's next year. That's it, man. World Economic Forum 2024. How to stop the evaporation from the oceans. We're definitely gonna have to eat bugs to do this.
Isn't it,
Walton?
Isn't it cyber terrorism next? I forget the order. Well, like
that's on the way there, but you just gave them a new idea. They're like, wait a second. They're like, this is so much cheaper than cyber terrorism. I'm like, you know, like they can get away with this so much easier. Come on.
I'm kind of looking forward to the friggin' sharks with friggin' lasers on their friggin' heads stage, to be honest. Like whenever that's yeah.
Don't forget the dolphins. Dolphins are extremely intelligent. Wait, I forget. I do apologize. There's a fellow Bitcoiner that wrote back on one of my threads this week about that. But yes, that's exactly it. What happens when the dolphins learn about Bitcoin? That's the real fear. That is maybe the real big boss.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they're going to start a full-on,
I mean, then maybe they won't be as shit as the Patriots. There is that. Like, I get, you know...
It'll be the real pleb underground then, right? Because they're like under the ground, they're in water. So, I mean, it might be coming for your guys' job. Who knows?
You know what? I'd like to see them do a show. I'd watch that. I'd watch the Dolphins talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We're moving on. We're moving on to the next numbers thing.
Bitcoin.
Oh, God. Just wait. Someone's going to want to come up with some type of a shit coin that is inclusive to the dolphins.
Dolphin coin. We need
the dolphins in the ecosystem.
Dolphin coin.
Dolphin coin. That's right.
It's ultrasonic. Ultrasonic money. Wait. Yeah, instead of ultrasound money, they're going to call it ultrasonic money. Dolphin coin.
There we go.
Oh, that's awful. Speaking of scams. Sorry, what's up, Brandon?
He said you guys got to copyright that now.
That's right.
Fuck that. Like this is weird. I probably could help like shitcoiners with their marketing, but fuck that. I'd never fucking doing any shitcoin. Like fuck all of that. Fuck shitcoins. Fuckshitcoins.com. Check it out. Phil, what we got here?
We need a watermark. We need to watermark this type of stuff. Okay, so check this out. This is a pretty interesting one. Speaking of scams, right? This is a very interesting graph. There you go, at Why Bitcoin Only. Hope it helps. And indeed it does. The percentage of altcoins you realize are scams, okay? And on this axis, amount of time spent in crypto. But really,
yeah, see, the trick is to not spend any time in crypto and just go straight to Bitcoin, and then you don't have to do this nonsense.
But unfortunately,
guys, learn from other people. You don't have to make all the same mistakes as everyone else.
You don't. And that's what's great about these charts. And that's why I appreciate people putting these together, because sadly, the majority of people group Bitcoin into crypto. And let's just go through the different stages here. Some altcoins are scams. Okay, a lot of them are scams. All of them are scams, except for a few. I remember that that's actually around the time when I started my podcast on Bitcoin, when I was in this part of the journey. All of them are scams except for a few. And I was like, we need to learn about this tech. It's important. One of these smart contract ones has to make it, right? And damn it, the maxis were right. And let me tell you something. When you get to that final stage right up there, when you're at the damn it, maxis are right, at that moment, it's like the light just goes on and you can't get rid. If you still have shit coins, you can't get rid of them soon enough. Anyways. Besides, Walton, you're absolutely right that the fact that it says crypto on that chart is awful, but
how I feel about fiat, to be honest. The, like, can't get rid of shitcoins fast enough. You feel like that, yeah, with your own fiat. It's, like, really annoying. Like, I have to pay a fucking, like, tax bill soon, and, like, I'm having to accrue some fiat, like, over the last, like, month or two, like, to then... Like, I'm like, no, I don't like it building up. Like, to have to, it's gross. It really, like, I try to keep my bank balances not like, I mean, basically net zero. Like, I try not to hold fiat because it kind of grosses me out. But yeah, like, it's horrible. Accruing fiat, for anything.
I agree 100%. You know, I'm trying to stack as much as possible, but I think, you know, everybody kind of early on their journey is like really crypto curious, as I guess I'll call it. But I agree with you, Walton. Like, I think if everybody could just go straight to Bitcoin, it would be a perfect world. But at the same time, you know, we have crypto in the news, and I think like a lot of these news outlets and other places, they group, like you said, Bitcoin with crypto. So, you know, to the average Joe on the street, most of them would probably categorize them the same, unfortunately. But yeah, if they know a maxi like us here, or maybe some other maxis on Twitter or whatever, hopefully they point them in the right direction. But you know, I think for the most part, a lot of people just kind of get into crypto like kind of on their own, and maybe don't really ask anybody about it at first. Maybe they try to keep it like under wraps, and then you know, at the last point with it's the maxis are right. You know, I think that's becoming more and more true just because of all of the exchanges that like shut off withdrawals, you know, that it's like, all right, oh shit, I should have had all my shit in the cold storage by now. The maxis were telling me to do this years ago, XYZ. But, you know, I think a lot of people kind of have to go through that and maybe get wrecked, unfortunately, to become Bitcoin maxis. And that, at least that's what I've noticed. I'm hoping that trend changes. But I think like definitely during this last bull market, that was kind of the path to Bitcoin maximalism.
Every bear and bull market brings more Bitcoin maximalists. I think this might even be like a HODL and not tweet from like 3 years ago, Space Cat, for the people who don't know. Don't forget to support him, right? Defending BTC.
Yeah, like this sort of time last cycle is when I started like buying Bitcoin for the first time. Like or maybe it was a bit before. I don't know. Like it went down afterwards. Like every time you buy Bitcoin, it drops in price. I mean, not just because I don't mean like because you're a whale and the slippage. I mean like just that's just what happens, right? You buy some Bitcoin and then it drops 10%. You're like, I could have bought a bit more. Fuck's sake.
Essentially, yeah. What happens is that more, you know, a lot of these shitcoiners get horribly wrecked, and a large percentage of them never come back, right? They just, crypto is a scam, never being able to get to the point where they figure out there's Bitcoin and shitcoin, and they walk away in failure, which is perfectly fine. That's to each their own. But then there's a small percentage of people that got wrecked and are like, there is something here that's legitimate, and I'm going to figure out what it is. And that's where they end up finding Bitcoin. And that's usually at the point where they start to go up that curve.
Yeah. So I came from the other, I've said this before, but like, yeah. I've come from the other side of kind of being like ultra skeptic to Well, I think all of it's nonsense. Like, there's no scarcity. Like, it would be good if there was. And then my friend's like, okay, there's independently verifiable scarcity. I'm like, oh, that makes it slightly interesting. Okay, let's have a look. But you have to. But that's coming from, I don't know, like, not to kind of blow my own trumpet, but that's a relatively like smart angle of it's all nonsense to then, you know, and understand the kind of importance of scarcity. I wasn't a gold bug, but it's like, you know, I was buying, I had to, you know, fucking pennies in index funds thinking this is nonsense. But everyone's looking for scarcity, I think, even those that don't realize that's what they're looking for.
Oh, 100%. You know, whether it's in real estate, gold, or whatever it is, you know, people are just kind of looking for that. And I think, you know, obviously Bitcoin has the lowest barrier to entry, a lot to learn about. And, you know, I think like you could get into Bitcoin for as little as like, I think 50 cents now on some of these on-ramps. So, I mean, yeah, what's kind of stopping you at this point? There should be nothing.
You could get into Bitcoin technically for free. You could just install one of those apps like Fold and just spin the wheel every day. You could install Thunder Games and accumulate Satoshis.
Carrot, the Bitcoin magazine app or something. Right? You get paid 5 sats for reading each article.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, and of course, there's the cash stuff.
I came across, I can't remember the link now, but there's some link that's like accruing all of these different ones of how you can like earn Bitcoin doing various like little things, like usually attention-based tasks, that sort of thing.
I'm going to try to find that. We are going to move on over to Wrecked is brought to you by Represent. Check them out, representltd.com. That's right. You got Walton sporting the black t-shirt with the crest. I've got the, I don't know, it's some kind of a beige, and you can take a look. It's the decentralized ops. Very, very nice. Excellent quality clothes. Buy a Bitcoiner for Bitcoiners. Use the pleb-underground code for 10% off at representltd.com. Walton now showing the hoodie. Very nice. Check them out. RepresentLTD.com. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, which I'd be very surprised that Bitcoiners aren't, Jamie Dimon had some choice words at the World Economic Forum about Bitcoin. So let's dive into it. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon says Bitcoin is a hyped up fraud and cryptocurrencies are a waste of time, but blockchain is a deployable technology. Well, we're not even going to go into this. We're just going to finish the article because already in the initial statement, you know that obviously he wants something that he can control. And that's why they think this slow database technology is somehow useful to them. But it's not. They're never going to use this shit. Anyways, CEO Jamie Dimon still isn't a believer. At the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland on Thursday, Dimon bashed cryptocurrencies as a distraction. I think all that's been a waste of time and why you guys waste any breath on it is totally beyond me, he told CNBC. Bitcoin itself is a hyped up fraud. It's a pet rock. This isn't the first time Dimon has expressed his doubts about cryptocurrencies or used a pet rock analogy to describe digital assets. The CEO has described Bitcoin as a fraud since 2017. CNBC anchor Joe Kernan pushed back on Dimon's claims that Bitcoin is a fraud on Thursday, arguing that cryptocurrency is a store of value that is immutable and scarce, noting its protocol indicates that there will only ever be 21 million coins. Totally untrue. How do you know it's going to stop at 21 million? Maybe it's going to get to 21 million and Satoshi's picture is going to come up and laugh at you all. Dimon and JP Morgan have leaned into blockchain technology since 2017 when the bank was one of 86 firms that helped create an open source blockchain initiative called the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance. That's right. The Enterprise Ethereum Alliance. And as Dimon mentioned above, the company uses its own cryptocurrency, the JPM coin, to carry out intraday repurchase agreements. But on Thursday, Dimon noted that the financial industry has been talking about using blockchain technology for 12 years at this point, and very little has been done. Before we discuss this, I just want to remind everyone, Consensus raised $65 million from JP Morgan, MasterCard, UBS to build infrastructure for DeFi. So just remember as Jamie Dimon shits on the one thing in this space that is real, okay? he is part of the infrastructure and part of the money. JP Morgan is part of the money that is setting up the ecosystem to fleece you on shitcoins. Shitcoins that will never be worth anything, okay? Think of them as the casino. Think of them as the house. And when you gamble long enough over time, the house always wins, okay? And that, to me, is exactly what this is. He's completely disingenuous. It's just absolutely, it's completely sickening. And the fact that people take him seriously is really, really of concern when it comes to Bitcoin. Because right, he's got his hand in the shitcoin cookie jar. I mean, are you kidding me? MetaMask, Infura, Consensus, all of this is JP Morgan. Ethereum? Ethereum is a fucking JP Morgan coin. Anyways, I'm sorry. First, we'll go to Brandon.
Just a brief comment. He makes a joke about there's no cap on the 21 million and Satoshi's going to laugh in our faces. Meanwhile, him and his politician buddies pretend there's a cap on the 31 trillion, but there isn't, and they're laughing in your faces. So, you know, fucking nonsense.
Well, I mean, yeah, you guys said it all, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. They're sponsoring these DeFi protocols, but they're really just dinos, right? Decentralized in name only. And it's all of these guys that they're going back to the original system. I mean, guys like Jamie Dimon and all these guys, they're not idiots, right? They're paid to not, quote unquote, understand Bitcoin. When I think they really do understand it, or they've had paid somebody to do enough research on it where they know, like, hey, if this thing works, we're fucked. So essentially, they're just like, hey, we're going to prop up these other systems. We're going to prop up the original, you know, fiat system, and then just call it crypto or DeFi or whatever they want to call it, put some marketing dollars behind it, and so they can still profit on it. I mean, it's all like the same kind of scam that they're trying to run you into, and, you know, they're just going to call it something, you know, call it DeFi, and they're going to claim it's DeFi, but really it's just, you know, centralized finance like it is right now. I even saw some article that they were promoting CDeFi, where centralized decentralized finance. It's like literally contradicting itself within its name. And so it's like all of these fucking guys, they all know what they're doing, and they're just trying to, like Walton said, they all got the hand in the cookie jar, and they're like we're gonna keep reaching in there until we get caught. Bitcoiners are the only ones that are kind of waking up to this fact. And thank God for Bitcoin, because without it, you know, maybe we'd all still be kind of running in this matrix and just realizing how, you know, something's wrong, but I don't know a solution. But, you know, at this point, it's like Jamie Dimon, he's just paid money, and really good money, to not really understand Bitcoin. So he's going to keep digging his heels in. It's just like Peter Schiff and all these same guys, right? They basically got in behind this. Hey, Bitcoin sucks. Maybe they're even stacking it like behind everything, but they're just trying to, you know, market up some other bullshit thing that they come up with, and they're going to keep the little guy down. I mean, that's just like full stop right there.
We did an episode about a month ago, and that was part of our fail, was essentially how deeply ingrained is JP Morgan and overall Wall Street in shitcoins. We'll link it in the show, but it's, you know, to your point. I mean, look, you know, these guys, they are the gatekeepers, you know, and if you think for a second that they're actually looking out for your best interest, you are wrong. You're absolutely wrong, okay? Because their best interest is not yours. It's completely different. Anyways, speaking of which, we're going to move on to the next fail, as if we kind of did tell you so. We actually did an episode on how Nexo was going to fail. Kind of surprised, right? Kind of shocked that it failed. I can't even say it with a straight face. And we even did different clips explaining how strange it was that all of these other lending platforms are failing, and yet this one is impervious to harm. Somehow they're like a superhero dodging all the bullets. Not quite, because it's all part of the same shitty ecosystem.
Wait, but they signaled it, Phil. They signaled it. Nexo will O,
right?
Of course, in bits, right? O, O and 1. O is off, yeah? So Nexo, so they're saying they're the next one to turn off. Like, they called it. Well done, guys.
I totally agree. So here we go, guys. They got stuck having to pay $45 million to settle U.S. SEC charges. So let's dive into this very quickly. Nexo settled the charges on a no admit, no deny basis, agreeing to pay half of the U.S. $45 million to the SEC and the other half to a group of states that sued the crypto lender. Nexo agreed to stop offering its EARN program to investors in the U.S. and started phasing out the product in December. We're confident that a clear regulatory landscape will emerge soon, and companies like Nexo will be able to offer value-creating products in the United States in a compliant manner. The shitcoin lender said the settlement closes all multi-year-long inquiries into Nexo, and that the company will keep upholding the highest compliance standards. Okay, so let's just call bullshit where it is. Okay, doing something that is sketchy, then getting busted for it, and then apologizing, that's not upholding any type of high quality standards. I'm very sorry. Like that's not compliance at all.
Yeah, that's just that's not how that works, though, isn't it? That's politician kind of stuff.
It sure is. It absolutely is. And I just want to make a prediction, because
that's
saw
Peter McCormack type stuff. Like that's oh, I've got a shitty like custodial sponsor. Oh, Matt Odell's gonna call me out in it. Oh, I'll then run more ads for more custodial service. Like, you know, some people don't learn, some people don't understand irony, some people have no morals. It's disgusting.
He's not
like
responsible.
Pleb Underground will never have a custodial sponsor, nor will we have a money changer as a sponsor. Integrity over popularity, integrity over you know, taking some of that dirty fiat money. Like, you guys do you, but shame on you.
You know, the other piece to this, sorry, before we go to you, Brandon, the other piece to this is this, right? I just want to make a prediction, because I did see this happen in 2018 with companies like USI Tech that were quote unquote providing crypto packages. And when they got busted in the States, they also did the same thing where they had to stop offering their program in the US. You should go check to see where they are now. So just be careful. Even if you're not in the US and you're doing and you're involved in Nexo, you should be careful, because more than likely that whole entire product is going away. And you know what? A big shout out to Flacco, because we had him on as a guest, and long before that, several months ago, probably 6 months ago, he was like, Phil, he's like, you're gonna want to watch out for Nexo. Brandon, what are your thoughts on Nexo? Were you involved in any of these yield platforms?
No, I mean, no. So I did have a BlockFi credit card where essentially I would just use it, get like the 1.5%.
To get the money back. Yeah.
Yeah. Get the money back and whatever, get it in Bitcoin. But I mean, honestly, like I can see how people get caught up in it, especially like in the shitcoin thing. They think, oh, you know, this, I don't know. It's just essentially like we've been talking about this whole time. It's a big marketing scam where people are saying, hey, you know, Alex Mashinsky, these people like require, like the whole world deserves 7.5%. It's like, that just doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, where does this yield come from? And then even like some of the people that I would talk to that would get involved in these things, they would say like, oh, it's just like a company dividend. Well, it's like, well, a company makes money. What does this blockchain do? And, you know, a lot of people kind of get behind all these different, you know, I guess, blockchain technologies, how they can just issue more coins and all of a sudden it's going to be worth more. I mean, I just think like people just get wrapped up in like, hey, you know, my bank account is sitting here and I have a quote unquote high yield savings account that gives me 0.5% over the entire year. And they see the numbers that we brought up at the beginning where, you know, shit's going up 80%. Food's going up 80%. All their bills around them are going 80%. So honestly, like I think like these guys are scammers that are creating these, but I really feel for the people that kind of got into this, because they're just trying to find a way, at least from my perspective, they're trying to find a way to, you know, to make more money, because what they're doing in their 9-to-5 waiting for a year to get a raise, doing all that kind of stuff. It's just not working, especially in the environment that we're in right now, where it's just, you know, you see people kind of FOMOing into these bullshit crypto tokens. You're like, hey, maybe that could be me, so I can get away from all this thing. And, you know, 1 month I feel fine, and the next month I start worrying about my expenses and if I could put food on the table. So, you know, I think like it's shitty, like Celsius, BlockFi, all these companies that offered yield with essentially nothing backing it. But I think like they were just preying on basically the environment that we're in, where all these people are just seeing, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And so the poor guy, you know, you market to the poor guy, say, hey, you get in this, unbank yourself. This is how you're going to do all these, like whatever all these, you know, exchanges use to market to these little guys. They bought into it because they're like, fuck it. I'm tired of being poor and feeling more and more broke and getting a 50-cent raise to my hourly job and having to work overtime, or, you know, having to drive Uber on the weekends just to put food on the table, when I can just put my money in this Nexo, Celsius, BlockFi and get some yield back and not have to do anything. So, you know, I think like I do feel for those people, and I think like the maxis are right, you know, don't get anything. But I think at the end of the day, it's you know, because of the environment that people are in. And that's, you know, that's where I really feel for some of those people. Hopefully they learn now and this brings them towards Bitcoin. But I think like that was kind of the main reason why a lot of people got into those shitty, you know, shitty yield platforms.
I think that you hit the nail on the head explaining the piece about that they're preying on the environment specifically. I couldn't lie if I didn't see it 1,000 times, right? I saw people back in 2018 in stuff like BitConnect, right? Where clearly if you did math for like 2 minutes, and like, trust me, like I suck at math, like advanced math and stuff like that. Like I'm completely lost, but BitConnect was such a scam that the most basic math, you could figure it out in less than 2 minutes, that it was physically impossible for them to continue to pay you. It's not possible. Like you can't, like there's no business that can do this. Like you can't just make money out of thin air, even though people are pretending that they can. So they do prey, unfortunately, on people who are desperate, people who are incredibly hopeful, and unfortunately,
the people who can't do math.
And people can't do math. And unfortunately, the people who get in early enough, right? And you can never guarantee that that's you, but those people really do end up reaping rewards. But the problem is that those rewards are completely unsustainable. And I saw people who thought that they were going to be making a living off of these earn platforms, thinking that they're just going to get a paycheck every week. Where do you think that's
people who thought
from?
They could run their Aston Martin off these platforms.
Well, I saw some people that would, like, yeah, they would borrow stable coins or get like a stable coin loan, and then their stable coins were giving them, I don't know, 8 to 12%, and they would buy these giant mansions, and this is how they would.
I saw that clip. It was like some like Zoomer TikTok nonsense, yes. Right? They're like, hey, and then you put you buy the house, and then you take a HELOC out in your house, and then you buy the shit coins, and then you put the shit coins in the yield platform, and then with the money from the yield, you pay your mortgage, and you got like a bunch of money to spend on hookers and blow, and it's like, really?
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, like. And it's like, honestly, you know, if it's like an 18-year-old, a 19, 20-year-old kid that's kind of like first figuring this stuff out and like, hey, you know, maybe they got lucky. They got into Bitcoin or one of these shit coins at some point in time. They made a big percentage, right? Maybe they made 1,000% on whatever their initial investment is. They think they're a fucking genius and they're like, all right, well, all these companies are offering this. This looks good. This looks good. And it's like, you're just a young, dumb kid. Or like, you know, like I was saying kind of earlier, it's like somebody who's just trying to get out of the matrix and they think like this is the way. And then this billionaire guy's like, oh, like, look at me. I'm the savior. Let me come and help you out. Like young little dumb idiot who I'm going to just steal all your money and lock it away. And, you know, I mean, I really feel for those people, but, you know, I don't know. I guess you take your own risks and whatever. And like these the SEC and all these other, you know, corporations, three-letter indices let this happen. And, you know, unfortunately, it's probably going to make like some of these Bitcoin companies that we have that are just like actually truly trying to help people. It's going to put a lot of regulation on them and maybe handcuff them in the short term. So, you know, I think like, yeah, it's definitely a huge negative. And these guys are fucking assholes for doing what they did. And I hope I to see never see another yield platform. But I mean, if you're watching this and you see an exchange that creates their own token or offers yield, fucking run. Get away from that one. Don't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. And, you know, get your Bitcoin off exchanges and put it in cold storage. It's the best advice I think.
Yeah, not your keys, not your coins, and don't fuck use shit coins or go for yield or you'll get fucked in the ass. You heard it here first.
Awesome advice. Okay, final story on Wrecked. You knew that this was happening. You knew that this was coming. Walton's going to cover a little bit more of this in the Hopium. Let's take a look at this quickly and have a talk about this. Genesis files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy as the Winklevii threaten DCG lawsuit. Genesis Global announced it voluntarily filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, voluntarily, along with its crypto lending arm, Genesis Global Capital, and lending unit, Genesis Asia Pacific. In a press release, Genesis used every buzzword it could think of to frame the move in a positive light. Genesis initiates process to achieve global resolution to maximize value for all clients and stakeholders and strengthen its business for the future. I think we all kind of were waiting for this to happen. At this point, though, what's really happening is that DCG, which is the parent company of all of this stuff, they owe about $900 million to Gemini Earn customers. And while these Gemini Earn customers are completely hosed, these rich people are arguing about who owes what when. And it's just kind of ironic because, or I shouldn't even say it's ironic, but it's just kind of funny because the whole entire landscape is falling apart around them and nobody wants to fess up. Nobody wants to pay. So if you were doing business legitimately, you would have the money there to pay for your customers. You would have the money there. Your customers wouldn't have to have payouts frozen. So these platforms, they've frozen payouts. Okay. They've locked people out of their money. You've got these two massive companies that are arguing with each other. And yet for some reason, this is allowed to go on. This is considered perfectly like, that's fine. You know, it's just falling apart. It's all good. We're going to restructure when the dust settles. I got to tell you, all I've seen so far is that these earn programs have infected every single platform that they touch. This has been my takeaway. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how great your financials are. Somehow these types of platforms just completely destroy the legitimacy of your platform. And I'm saying somehow, and I'm saying it kind of facetiously, because the reality is it's not a mystery. Okay. The reason is that they're, my personal opinion is that they're creating these platforms so that they can fuck with your money. Plain and simple. Like they want to fuck with your money. They want to do it in a way that you're not going to ask any questions. And this is amazing, because as long as you keep seeing on your screen number go up, you don't ask any questions. You don't start to pull out. You don't think anything. You just keep saying, hey, I'm making money off my money.
Until they Bankman freed off with, made off with your money. Wait, how does it go?
All of them? Wait. They kind of both did the same thing in a different way, I'd say Bernie was a little classier.
Of course, it's until they made off with your money, but like, of course, Sam Bankman-Fried is the one that apparently they might know because clearly they don't know about Madoff, or they wouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. Like, if you're putting your money with some platform, the idea of you're getting some returns that are kind of magically coming out of somewhere, well, that's nonsense. And if you're depositing it with someone and you have confidence in their ability to get you that return, well, then that's a security, basically. You know, you go look up the Howey test; it passes it. Like, So be careful. Like, therefore, you need to really be. If you're going to do it, you'd have to do it with a highly registered institution. And who is more registered than Gemini? I don't think anyone was. And so the point is because it's all one degree of separation, right? They lent the money to Barry, who then just lent it to all the degenerates. And so I mean, they're all degenerates, right? Like all of these people, because again, they believe that yield can kind of magically come from somewhere. Like if you're investing in small companies that are growing, you can have real yield, right? There is a kind of real concept of yield on equity, right?
Because the company earns money.
Right,
it's actually doing more work.
It's providing more value to the world, and in exchange there is more money coming in. But in finance, if it's just what's the expression? Like it's musical chairs. Like you have to recognize how much of this is just musical chairs. There's no work being done. There's no value being provided to any external party. And so you really, you should be questioning all of it.
It's financial activity for the sake of it. Or just saying, sorry, Brandon.
Fuck all of that and, you know, self-custody because, you know, not your keys, not your coins. You can't fuck with me if it's in self-custody.
Well, I think we're beating around the bush here. It's all a Ponzi scheme, right? I mean, you're depositing clients' money into this platform that's offering yield. They're paying out as people are trading, basically they're risking your own clients' funds, whether that's, you know, Bitcoin or some other shit coin. They're risking that. They're trying to trade it. And then they're saying like, hey, I can guarantee that I'm going to get 7% on Bitcoin. I can guarantee Ethereum, I can get 10%. Yeah. And then when shit hits the fan and it's in a bear market and it's like, kind of like, oh fuck, you know, it shooting up 30%, it's shooting down 60%, you know, they get wrecked, which is what's happened to all of these damn lending platforms. Is every single one is taking whatever you put on that platform and putting it at risk, whether they're lending it to somebody who, you know, obviously doesn't know what the hell they're doing and buying some mansion and using a HELOC to yellow into some other shit coin. You know, I mean, like they're making it so it's very unregulated, very unlike, hey, we're going to do all this shit with your coins and just promise you, you know, heaven, basically, you know, mm-hmm. It's going to be this glorified place. You're going to be rich. You can just deposit all this shit with us and you'll be on a beach somewhere in a year. Just give it to you. And, you know, I do know people that were living off of, you know, that yield. And it is really unfortunate because now they, you know, they're either screwed or they had to figure it out and get another job where it's like, you know, now they have X amount of dollars or Bitcoin or whatever locked away in these platforms. So, you know, I think like just risking it with all these things that we saw it exactly what we're saying, you know, Ponzi scheme, shit hit the fan when it comes to a bear market. And we're just seeing like, you know, luckily we're seeing Bitcoin companies kind of thrive in this environment. You know, we're seeing a lot of them start to hire and everything like that. And ones that actually seem to have, you know, good graces and good leadership and everything like that seem to be prospering and not really, you know, not really having much change of business when it comes to bear or bull market. Whereas like these shitcoin casinos, it's exactly that. It's a casino. And, you know, like you said, at the end of the day, you risk it enough, the house is going to win. Well, here's the house winning.
All right. We are going to move on over to the Hopium.
Up next, we have the Hopium, sponsored by CryptoCloaks. CryptoCloaks are a Bitcoin-only brand with a whole range of goodies. Here you see the Honey Badger, which has a very secret compartment in which you can keep your FUD dice or perhaps even a signing device. Up next, we have the Hodlnaut helmet in Bitcoin Orange. Of course, if you buy this item, you will contribute to the fight against evil over at defendingbtc.com. If you use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND, you get 5% off all goodies over at CryptoCloaks.com or CryptoCloaks.co.uk. Check them out. So, guys, for this week's Hoping, we have two stories. One actually is the kind of the same story as one that Phil had in Wrecked. The idea that Genesis is blowing up, and you might think, well, why is that Hoping? Let me show you. So Genesis wasn't the first, and it will not be the last firm to blow up, because they're all incestuous. They're all lending to each other. You can see a bunch of Barry's firms dotted around here. You see FTX and Alameda over here, BlockFi, Digital Currency Group, of course, Barry's, Three Arrows Capital, who blew up Genesis, a bunch of hedge funds. Oh, look, it's the Democrat Party with the SBF, and of course the SEC is up here, and they what they don't show is that $4.5 billion loan that I think I referenced last week, that came from the Fed to Silver Bank, I believe, who are part of Barry's group, and the Fed talk about, they worry about crypto contagion, but then they do that sort of lending. Bizarre. Anyway, here, all this incestuous lending, everyone blowing up, and more to come. How could this possibly be a good thing? Well, the answer, guys, is because it's like a forest fire. In order for Bitcoin to moon, which is what you want, right? What we need is for the good people to have Bitcoin, and for the cunts to not have so much Bitcoin. It's frankly disgusting, kind of what's been going on. And all of the kind of leverage games that get played, eventually the music stops, and someone loses out, right? And make sure it's not you. Let's keep watching the shitcoiners burn. Let's watch what the price of Bitcoin fall. Let's keep stacking, and then at some point there will be a liquidity squeeze. There will be a short squeeze, a dry up of Bitcoin on exchanges, because all of these shitcoiners, irresponsible borrowers, have blown up, and Bitcoin is being accrued by people who are generating real value sustainably in the real world, and building, you know, businesses, families, communities.
Yeah, I mean, exactly like you said, right? So it's all these people who are lending, giving yield on bullshit that doesn't really exist. But I also think, like, another background of this is, like, you're getting rid of the bad actors who are issuing a lot of paper Bitcoin, right? So it's evident from all of them failing that they weren't really purchasing Bitcoin with the money that you were depositing into these, you know, exchanges, accounts, what have you. And that might have, like, suppressed the price in the last bull run, in my opinion. It's like, all right, well, you know, we were having, you know, the chart experts, whatever you want to, you know, we were making fun of them a little bit earlier, but I mean, like, they were all predicting six-figure Bitcoin and all that, you know, all the buzzwords and what have you. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you just look back at the last bull run, how many bad actors were in there issuing quote unquote Bitcoin that really didn't exist, because you couldn't pull it out? And then when everybody kind of went to that bum rush and tried to pull it out, it wasn't there. So,
well, there's still a few traditional finance companies doing that sort of thing. Revolut, which is a European one, it's like kind of closed system Bitcoin, where you can only kind of buy and sell within their app. You can't do any withdrawal. So actually, yeah, it's just paper Bitcoin being sold, and paper Bitcoin is certainly a shitcoin.
Oh, 100%, right? I mean, we've said it like multiple times in this podcast. It's like, not your keys, not your coins. I don't think we can hammer that point home enough. And I think that's, you know, this is kind of the hopium behind all this, is that, you know, a lot of the bad actors that are issuing the paper Bitcoin, you know, they're getting a lot of publicity, and the fact that it's like, all right, if you're still in Bitcoin at this point and you haven't pulled your Bitcoin off of exchanges, like, what the fuck are you doing? But it's also pushed a lot of Bitcoiners to kind of learn that way, and kind of, you know, learn it. Hey, I don't need the yield on my Bitcoin. You know, where is this yield coming from? And it gives, you know, I guess the plebs a little bit more room to just question everything that's going on in a lot of these companies. So I think, you know, to your point, there is hopium because even though these guys failed and some people got screwed, it's making more Bitcoin maxis and it's making people realize like, hey, when I put my money with these companies, like I need to verify that it's actually buying Bitcoin. It's actually doing what they say it's doing.
And the only way you can verify that, of course, is by withdrawing your, you know, your UTXOs and having the keys to the wallet that contains those addresses for those UTXOs.
I feel like we were looking at a Rube Goldberg machine. When you had that chart up, I'm like, I started off at the upper left hand side, started off at the SEC, and just started my way down. like
I tried to kind of show it in any sort of logical order. I'm like, no, it's just a wash of shitcoinery and nonsense. Like you know, there's no point. At the end of the day, they're all incestuous. They're all inbred. And they all have webbed feet. So yeah, guys, don't shitcoin, even if it makes you a better swimmer.
I think this kind of goes back to Brandon. Was it you that mentioned the TikTok video with the I feel like that's what, like, the banking system is literally that kid. Like that whole entire, forget about the banking system, but in terms of this whole debacle or debacle with FTX and Genesis and DCG. I feel like it's that kid. Like, that's literally what they were doing. It's the exact same thing, except he was doing it on a much smaller scale, just trying to be like a little mini baller. Like, they're just doing it on a much bigger scale with way more people's money. And of course, you know, we're living through the fallout. And I just want to add, as we're having this conversation about everything falling apart, Bitcoin just broke 22K. I had to mention it. As we're sitting here talking, not that anybody cares, right? Because fiat exchange is garbage, but we care about the life, and Bitcoin is showing some life, huh?
The green candle pump.
That's there, right? Green candle with green candle on the show.
There we go.
A massive 1K candle right now. Anyways, sorry, Walton. Sorry.
I kind of like the price to go down a bit. Like, again, like I've got a tax bill to pay, and I can't buy Bitcoin right now. I need to wait like a couple of weeks. Like, guys, can you make sure that this? I mean, I think we all know this, but can you make sure that this is a bull trap? Thank you.
We need HODL or not to put out the we're never gonna see 20K again. Once he puts out that tweet, like, it's done.
We're never going to see 10K again or 15. I'd like to see 15K. That would be nice. 15K. Okay. Let's go back to 15K. Anyway, I have one more tweet for the hopium. And actually, very rarely, it's not really a price prediction, but I guess it's the closest thing you'll see to a price prediction. From me here, some guy saying that I see a decent chance that Bitcoin hits a new all-time high this year. And you might think, who is this John Brown? I don't know. Why is Walton sharing this kind of pretty bland tweet? Like, it looks a bit shit. Like, what is this nonsense? Why did I share this? Adam backlight this tweet. Adam Back likes this tweet.
That's our metric.
That's it. This is hopium because Adam Back thinks there's going to be a new all-time high this year. That's what I'm inferring from that like of this random guy's tweet on Twitter. Adam Back thinks there's going to be an all-time high this year. You heard it here first. Book it.
Walton's like all those like newscasters or whatever, like, sources are saying Adam Back thinks that we're going to have a new all-time high. That's what he's going off of. It's like this, I mean, Twitter life.
I think it's good enough. It's good enough.
I mean,
I'm sold on that too. There we go. I'll take it.
Don't get me wrong, but like, we have a very sophisticated, in-depth method of how we validate all of our sources. And
yeah, also, it's fucking January, guys. Like, don't be so bearish. Like, let's go down to 15K, and then let's go to, like, I don't know, 90K, and then we're gonna go back down to 30K, and then we're gonna, you know, it's gonna be a wild ride. Like, you've seen the roller coaster meme. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, of course. I love that. I mean, I love that gift in both ways too. It always makes me laugh seeing the little Bitcoin roller coaster just going up and down.
Okay, so hold on a second. So hold on. Have you seen, because there's a few different GIFs or GIFs or however the hell you want to pronounce it, but there's one where you can't tell. I think it's the one made by Marcus Connor. It's where you can't tell whether it's going up.
Is it going up or down? Yeah.
It looks like, because, oh no, not even that one. He's like just on an angle and his arms are flapping and you can't tell if they're flapping while he's going down or flapping while it's going up. It's fantastic. That's like, that to me is the best Bitcoin roller coaster meme.
Yeah. We got to add that here. Just have it just floating across here or something.
I try to use it for thumbnails as often as possible. I love his graphic and I always take it and I'll throw it in there somewhere in the back. You'll see the little Bitcoiner guy on the roller coaster screaming.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
look, it's good times. But I'm sorry, Walton.
Yeah, I haven't really shared much in this week's Hopium. Like, it's some relative, you know, we talked about the forest fire. We said that Satoshi thinks that we're going to an all-time high this year. Like, we talked about a couple things, but I don't know. I feel fucking bullish. Like, even though I want the price to go down, I feel fucking bullish. And again, it's not just about the fiat exchange rate. This is about the tools that we have in Bitcoin are better than they've ever been. Like, shout out Nunchuck, who are doing some fucking cool stuff with NFC multi-sig, which I think is going to be the future for normies being able to use, you know, secure self-custody. NFC mobile first multi-sig, I think, is going to be revolutionary. You know, we have so many great independent Bitcoiners building a whole bunch of cool different things. You have, you know, obviously Pleb Media, you know, the part that's not getting bought out by exchanges. You know, you have these different initiatives. You know, you see the beef initiative. You see similar things happening in different countries on that sort of thing. People trying to kind of create these Bitcoin circular economies. If you want, you know, to the businesses that you patron to survive, you need to orange pill them and get them to start accepting your Bitcoin, because that's where you want to spend your money. And for those, you know, for the ones that's you wouldn't give them Bitcoin, then maybe they're not such a great business. Maybe you shouldn't be spending any fiat there, to be honest. Consider your purchases, orange pill the people that need to learn about Bitcoin, the people actually providing, you know, real value in the real world that you want to exchange your real value for, and keep learning about these cool tools, because I think they're getting better and better and better. I'm very excited, very very excited. I don't give a fuck what the price does this year. The exchange rate, I don't care. Bitcoin, the Bitcoin communities, Bitcoiners, I'm fucking bullish.
How
dare you imply there's a community?
I said communities.
I know, but that means there's more than one community.
Like, if you think there's one community, then you don't know how to draw a Venn diagram, yo.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been on Bitcoin Twitter, then. You know, we got rivalries all over the place.
Nobody agrees.
Yeah, you must be like exactly. Blind to religion if you believe that's true on Bitcoin Twitter.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Speaking of Bitcoin Twitter, we're gonna go back to some more degen version of Hopium.
Wait, are you showing me some D to TA right
no,
now?
No, D to TA. But, okay, how about this? Did you guys hear this, that the whole entire cycle we just went through was a shitcoin pump cycle because of the yield programs and all of this? So that the Bitcoin pump cycle never actually took place, so that we may actually be in a super cycle. Again, I take it for what it's worth. It's amazing, Hopium. Pump. It's amazing. I love it. Okay, but I'm not gonna lie.
The idea that this one got suppressed basically by all the paper Bitcoin, FTX bullshit, and that sort of stuff, and so then the next one is exaggerated because this one just kind of coiled further, and then there's these forest fires to happen.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. I don't really believe in like the super cycle like Hopium stuff. So it's
there
hard.
There is only one cycle. There is only one cycle. This four-year cycle stuff is nonsense. The only, like, yes, there is a halving every 210,000 blocks, which is approximately every 4 years, and historically the price has, you know, there has been some you know. But are you, do you guys believe Plan B? No, you don't. So like, let's calm this like cycle talk.
What were you gonna say, Brandon?
Well, I mean, if you kind of like look at like economic activity, like big macro events that kind of happen around Bitcoin, they line up kind of around the halving time. So it's like a macro event happens and the market kind of goes through these little four-year business cycles kind of things, which is like essentially just a non-exaggerated version of what Bitcoin has gone through, especially during this past, you know, since inception. So, I mean, like, I don't believe in the super cycle or anything like that. And I just think like at this point, it's been fairly correlated with the market. As I believe fully that eventually it's going to get away from that. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to get behind that. I like a Walton's good, a little though. Bit more where it's like Adam Back just liked a tweet and we're getting behind that. But I agree with him, too. Like, I don't really like at this point, I think, you know, when you first get into Bitcoin, I don't know. When I first got into it, I was obsessed. I was checking the price every single day. Right. I was like, and it was in a bull market. It's like people are getting hyped on Twitter. It was a lot of fun. But then it's like, all right, you get kind of used to these pumps and dumps and whatever. And you're just like, well, like, why am I freaking out when it dropped like 10% or whatever? Because I'm not selling it anyway. So, you know, like, I don't know. So
you don't get excited. I get excited when it drops 10%. I get excited.
Yeah, the DCA keeps churning though, you know, so I mean that's
smash by all the way, let's go.
Yeah, I guess maybe I should get into that a little bit more, but that I just got the DCA churning at this point.
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. All right, that wraps up the Hopium segment and we are gonna wrap up the show, but before we do, Brandon, how do people find you, shill your stuff?
There we go. Yeah. At GreenCandleIT on Twitter. I'm pretty active on there. That's, yeah, the most active thing. But also, you know, check out the YouTube. I got the State of Bitcoin podcast. Check it out at wherever you get podcasts. And that comes out every Friday. And then the Macro Insights, which is more just like macro real estate, just kind of overall economic kind of stuff. That drops every Monday. So, yeah, check me out all on all those platforms. And I'll be around to maybe hopping into some of y'all's Twitter spaces and everything like that as well.
Awesome. We love it. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to provide the links to all of that stuff in the show notes. And guys, don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this off?
Fuck shitcoins.
That's right. Fuck shitcoins. Catch you all next time, guys. Okay.